When we began organizing this conference, there were some people that I absolutely wanted to invite. I wasn't sure I could get them, but I've been lucky. And one of them is the man who will be speaking next, Armando Silva. Armando Silva, in my view, is one of the top scholars in the world who writes about urban culture. He has written, in my view, the most interesting things ever written, for example, on graffiti. But he's written on a wide variety of other things. And although I don't speak Spanish very well, I've forced myself to learn to read reasonably well in Spanish in order to read his books. They're now being translated more and more, so that won't necessarily be an issue for most of us, but for me, it was important that I read them. So it's a great pleasure for me to introduce tonight Armando Silva, who is the project manager of a project called Urban Imaginaries. He's a professor at the External University of Colombia, Bogotá, Bogotá in Colombia. He's the author, really, of over 20 books, including Urban Imaginaries, Family Photo Album, which was based on his dissertation at the University of California and won the award for best doctoral thesis in its year. He did his doctorate under the supervision of Jacques Derrida. And he is editor of the collection Imagined Cities. He writes for several magazines and newspapers such as El Tiempo, Colombia, and Dars Italy. He's been invited to participate in many, many important international events in the fields of art, visual, and urban culture. Documenta 11 in Casa Germany, the Sao Paulo Biennale in 2004, the Venice Biennale in 2006, and he continues to produce an ongoing, extremely interesting and rich reflection on the topic of urban imaginaries and what it means to live in cities and what it means to create in cities and the visuality of cities and so on. So I ask you to join me in extending a very warm welcome to Professor Armando Silva.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. Excuse me, my flu. It's going to be terrible for me. So. Okay, thanks very much, Professor, for your kind and wonderful invitation. And I'm trying to connect these two points. First, the city we need, with my own work in imagined cities. I prepare a PowerPoint, and I invite you to follow my point of view. Of course, it's a more theoretical approach. I am trying to understand both the epistemologic and aesthetic point of view of the cities, but I make difference in between the city and the urbanism. So. You are going to see these ideas, and at the end, I want to have some examples of different cities. I have been working with some of my teams in 25 cities. So let's go to start with a small clip that presents the cities we are working with. Thank you. Okay, so as I was saying to you, we have different cities involved with this project. And the methodology is coming from some of my own books that I went to explain. The idea is to confront the real city with the imagined city. Of course, needs specific techniques that we are developing in different moments of the project. What is the imagined city? First, we must establish the difference between the physical city and the urban. That is important for us. The city corresponds to the physical and geographical scale with more or less accurate limits. And then the urban corresponds to the mindset of its resident, in other words, to the mentality of the people. So if we don't put together city and urban conception, then we are close to understand the imagined city. So the imagined city is not part of the city, it's part of the urban mentalities. But with these urban mentalities, we see and we use the real city. That means that if we change the mentality, we change the physical city. Of course, one of my kids are working here is in Porto Alegre, Brazil. With this idea that we made this difference in between the urban and the city, when we say the imagined city, is both the conception we have, but at the same time a kind of collection of books that we had in every city that we are working on. So in this case, we have different kind of techniques. One of the techniques that we use is the statistic. And with this statistic, we create a sketch instead of maps. So it's another difference that we have to talk about. Maps is more the limit of the city, but a sketch is more the conception of the urban. So this sketch is based of the conception of the subjectivity of the city. When we work in the statistic, we have different kinds of questions, very subjective questions, like what is the color of the city, or we're trying to understand the memory of its inhabitants. So it's a question that is not to say yes or no. It's a question of kind of projection of desires, projection, collective desires. So in this conception, imaginaries cannot be seen. They are invisible. They transport desires, passions, memories, ideas, but if they are not visible, how do we study or photograph it then? I remember a professor and colleague in Barcelona that said to me, but you say that the imaginaries are invisible. How can we see the imaginaries if they are invisible? Okay, of course we had an answer. So in this case, this is in Ecuador, in Quito, Guayaquil, excuse me. But of course you can see a kind of shadow there, a person. This is a phantoms, no, a ghost, and phantoms, urban phantoms. But these phantoms correspond to expression of the imagined that is materialized in objects. Imaginaries are invisible because they are noticed of the urban phantoms, but they become visible through process that we call incarnation or embodiment of objects. So it's true that it's invisible, but they go inside of the objects. So in that moment, when you take a picture, it's not the picture of the object, the real object. It's a picture of the phantoms. In this way, an object of discourse or in action is not a material, is merely material reality. Rather, every real object is also an imagined incarnate one. What is more, this object is real because it is imagined. So the reality is imagined. It's not possible the reality if you don't imagine the reality. So the conclusion is a little more radical. The things are real because are imagined. It's not real. So we are working in a very extreme subjective conception of life. I go with some examples. Here, for instance, in Caracas, the Chavez. Of course, everyone has fear of this situation. So in this case, in this building, you see, you have all these bars. So you take this picture here, you know, the building, the Tamayo building, is a picture of the fears the from inhabitants in Caracas. So this is why we say this incarnate in real objects. So when you take a picture of the object, you are at the same time taking a picture of a kind of feelings of the people with this object. It's more in my most recent book, El Asombro Social, Social Astonishment, I come to the following three conclusions. First, imaginaries are made of aesthetic, not the aesthetic of art, but of the social. You know, inside of my, you know, the people working in the same direction, we have been having discussion of what is imaginary. And I think, and I am, you know, I can say satisfied, that I think I discovered this conception inside of imaginaries, that imaginaries is aesthetic. But no, it's an art. It's not coming from art. It's nearby, but it's not art. It's a kind of aesthetic social. But the materiality of imaginaries are aesthetic. And that means that if it's an aesthetic, could be in one moment, in one object, very strongly, but could be not. So the object has its own life. But in one moment, this object can be incarnate with this aesthetic function. So the second condition of astonishment then says that the aesthetic function in objects is not permanent to them, does not definitely adhere to them, but may or may not be dominant in their perception. When I say dominant in its perception, means that we have some feelings that are more possible to have be inhabitants with imaginaries. Feelings like love, for instance. When you are in love, you are in the imaginary condition. When you hate someone, you are in an imaginary condition. When you are thinking in the future, you are inside of imaginary condition. So if you are in love, of course, you can say to someone, how is it possible you love this person, you know? It's not the case, you know. The people can explain you different things, with very good arguments. But when you are inside in love, you cannot see. You are blind because you are in different condition. But this condition is your own reality. Of course, I'm not talking about personal things, but collective. So this is, you know, the frontier of the contents are very imaginary objects. For this reason, I am trying to explain to you. So this is the idea that if we say that it is the aesthetic that involves the object, that means that could be very strongly aesthetic, or could be not. I could be in one moment yes, and in another not. The Spanish word asombro comes from the Latin umbra. It's a very beautiful explanation from the origin of the words. Chardonnay, stunned, fascinate, amazing, fright, due to the appearance of a shadow. So one who is in an imaginary state is overdoed by astonishment. I was talking with William Strong, and he said that it's a good word, the astonishment, because, you know, in English you have many words to translate. But this is the, we think this is the right word, astonishment. But this aesthetic function can disappear, and the physical object can be transformed into a simple carrier of a reference with an astonishment, sin asombro. And the third thing that I believe I have discovered is that imaginaries can be modulated. This is our urban phantoms materialize themselves in social imaginaries through the incorporation of feelings. So in some way, the imaginaries is a social theory of social feelings. Therefore, with the help of logic and mathematics, a model can be constructed that generates three different situations of reality, through which can be conceptualized all possible manifestations that sustain the paradigm of the imagined city. The imagined city is therefore the city inhabited by urban phantoms, and out of which citizens live and experience the real cities. Let me say that. So our pretension is our pretension, that every kind of action, discourse, or objects in the life can be one of these three situations of the same model. Always, I am talking about three. I'm coming from a philosophical formation and it's inspirational in some way of philosophers like Peirce, in other words, Lacan or Derrida. So, reality one, because we are talking about three. In order to signify that the first type of reality is constructed when the imagined is dominant and the real power is it. Therefore, is elevated to the power I, is elevated, imagined, is elevated to the power of R, reality. So we have this model here, R, I equal I to the power of R, imagined to the power of reality. That means the reality is really imagined. You know, let me explain to you.
You know,
not only when you see different things. In Mexico, in Avenida Hidalgo, it has a terrible smell. 20 years ago, people who know Mexico know what I am talking about. But after many years, when they fix the problem, some people that have this memory feel bad smell. So this is smell is real or imagined smell? Okay, I say it's real because it's imagined. Not everyone. But people can tell you, okay, you go to this street and then maybe you had this suggestion and you feel this bad smell. So that happens in every moment in life. In that case, you are dominant by the phantoms of the smell. And this may exist. Of course, in a positive way of life, not. People can say, how is it possible? It's not smelling. But if social people say yes, it's yes on these people. You know, this one here, this horse, one thing I tell you is that we were in more documentary weight, as Professor William explained. We don't use any kind of technology different than the
documentation.
So when we say that this is a horse running in the street, it's true. It's not a kind of trick. It's not. We had not this kind of project. So here, it's as a ghost, as a phantoms at the same time. That happened in Bogota. Usually people who work in our project, they try every day their cameras to, you don't know in what moment appears the phantoms and you have to take a picture. Here is in Chile, that deep bridge, doesn't exist. They made just one part, but never connect two points. So this bridge exists because it's an imagined bridge. This is why. And visually, you can get, even here, of course, in Montreal, this kind of phantoms walking around the streets. Or here, if you put here all these views going to the main point of view of this young, beautiful lake. So one of the tricks that we use is to take pictures of the people who are taking pictures. So that point reveals the phantoms, because finally we are trying to get the phantoms, the Japan phantoms. So this is the one reality. The eye go to the art and take place of the art. The imagine take place of the reality. And here we have the real and more authentic phantoms. In the first of these photos, I explained to you. And then we have the other situation of the same model. This is reality two. This is reality two. In order to signify that the second type of reality is constructed when the real is dominant and the imagined powers it. Therefore, R is raised to the power of I. This is the opposite way. When the real is so strong that cannot be imagined for some people on the city. Like, many downtowns in Latin American countries. People say, I don't go there. Why? No, this very dangerous places, whatever. So the good word to express the second situation is the abandon. Abandon, And the first word more the of course all three have phantoms. It's stronger in the first. Here is less stronger. In the first is more the imagination, of course. Here is more the abandon. People know that exists but don't use the place, the object, or don't repeat the action. Here, for instance, this is a museum of modern art in Bogota. But what kind of modernity we have here? No? So this is a kind of abandon in Bogota. Or here in Caracas again in the Caracas from Chavez, we have this street, rich and poor people. So this is a real mark of the city. With no problem. This is the reality in Caracas. And here in São Paulo, some people is washing clothes, in downtown, in Plaza da Sé, as if they are in their own house. This is the abandon of the reality too. And then, I explained to you. And then the reality tree. In order to signify that the third type of construction of reality operates when I, the imagine, is equivalent to R, the real, and which in the dynamic of imaginaries is reconstructed as I, having been enriched in its sense by R. I signals that is too similar to, but not the same of as initial. Of course, because change life and change the perception. So it's the equivalent on the R&I.
In this photo, so the emblematic building, like this one here in Bogota,
you know, the moon is coming here, and here disappeared the moon. But everyone knows in Bogota, this is the night icon, Bogota night icon. Everyone knows that exists this emblematic building, and they know it's changing. So the I, R becomes with I at the same time. Here, you know, the Statue of Liberty with Alf from the soap opera. Everyone knows the irony that constructed these urban artists. Of course, if they know Alf, and if they know the Statue of Liberty. If not, it's different. If not, it could be part of the first reality. But if they know, they are in the third reality. There are a coincidence in between reality and imagined reality. Okay, and finally, I post that imaginaries can be projected in three archives. This being understood that only, not only as a classification, but as a memory that archive, that activate. You know, you have this thing, these three pictures. This an old picture, and, you know, more recent picture, modern city, only 60, 70. And this is from the this century. It's impossible to have this kind of pose here. It's impossible. Why these two beautiful girls do this very postmodern gesture? You know, because they are very ironic. And you know why? Because the technology, the photograph as a technology, doesn't have more certainty, reality, verite, certeza. How do you say certeza? Certeza. When you lose the, in one moment you can feel that photography is the reality, but today not. Everyone knows that it's not the reality. Lose reality. So, I remember once working with Derrida, he said me something very, that astonished me. He said, we are coming, you know, that happened in 1906. It's coming a new reality in photography that will be more important than the idea of put together pictures than to see pictures. That is very strong, because today people take pictures but don't see the pictures. That means that more important is the archive. More than the picture are the archive. Okay, we take 1,000 pictures, but never see the pictures because we put it in the computer, and then change the program, or maybe you can lose your computer. So change the function, because now the reality of photography is quite different. As a letter, as in selfies, whatever, but it's not the archive of the reality. And this is why these two girls can smile in a very ironic way. So, but still, a private and intimate archive. The prototype of this archive is the family photo album. I said that we discovered with Derrida this archive because before doesn't exist research about family photo album. When you have this treasure, so important treasure, in Latin America, usually made by women, almost all family photography in Latin America is constructed by women. So that means they are constructed a private memory, of course. Here, the second kind of archives. The prototype here, as in the first, was the family photo album.
Here is the graffiti.
This is in Toronto. But graffiti means it's not for everyone. Graffiti is for the community. So if we say here, 11 September 11, there is a real street in La Plata, Argentina. And they put here, you know, Audi Imperio. This is a kind of graffiti using urban signs. But in that case, it's for the community in La Plata. You know, we don't know what they are talking about. So graffiti is not for everyone. Has a limit, an imaginary limit. And this is why it's the prototype of the community. And the third one, you know, the third archive, is the public cities. The imagined cities, the public archive, where the imagined cities are and where the inhabitants' visuality and public share their various thoughts and action. In this chart of one can appreciate the color of scales to which Latin America cities are to and project.
Many, of course, different colors,
but black and white is dominate in the seven cities of 15. Public art also comes under the rubric of these public archives. There are a relationship in between the imaginaries and public art. And let me show you this one here. You know, it's a kind of very important person process in Colombia. But you see what happened here. Okay, so the finish is coming. The end is coming. You know this.
That's eagle.
So you see, it's against the official emblematic persons. So public art impact the community to make imaginaries, to create imaginaries against the power. Usually the public art is a political one and use different strategies like intervention of an object. So this is why it comes together with urban imaginaries. And to finish, this is a kind of clip that we used to make in different cities, in this case in Caracas again. But of course we have many, and in my homepage I'm going to give you, you can check out the things that we have. You know, it's about McDonald's and the Gothic conception and church conception of life inside the signboard. Thank you. good for every day.
So with this Imagine Cities, we had books, clips, and archives, photographs archives, some art public intervention, family photo album, and we are trying to understand, to take out the phantoms of these things in each city. So we are quite different of the idea of the global conception of life.
We were in specific places. And that means that it's not the same phantoms in every city. And we are, of course, different than the theory of the Liu and no Liu, the from Paris, the Magogé. We were more in the time conception, you know, the space, the time. That means we are not working the city, as I say in the beginning. We were in the urban conception, the urban citizens. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. This talk was supported by CETA, the Canada in the Americas Initiative at the McGill Institute for the Study of Canada. We are very grateful to Ginny Steichman, whose generosity has made this initiative possible. Thank you, Ginny. The CETA initiative is intended to foster the exchange of ideas and people between Canada and the other countries of the Americas. These exchanges involve scholars, public figures, artists, and creators who contribute to our understanding of ourselves and one another. I invite you to follow us at MISC as we develop this initiative over the coming years. And now I'd like to express our special thanks to Dr. Armando Silva, who is visiting us from Bogota, Colombia. Professor Silva has done more than almost anyone in the world to develop the study of urban imaginaries, the ways that people imagine and inhabit their city. We were thrilled to have him as a speaker at our conference, and we hope to find ways to build further collaborations in the future as we continue to reflect on urban life and culture. Professor Silva, thank you again for your very inspiring presentation, and we hope you can come back and visit us in the near future. Muchas gracias.